mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Matthew chapter 20, verses 10 to 12, in the translation of the New English Bible. When it was the turn of the men who had come first, they expected something extra, but were paid the same amount as the others. As they took it, they grumbled at their employer. These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, yet you have put them on the same level with us, who have sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. Long before Queen Elizabeth's grandsons, Prince William and Prince Harry, were schoolboys at Eton College, there was a very eccentric housemaster there, charged with the general supervision of the boys' lives, a man by the name of John Upcott. And this is what he had to say. I believe in treating boys unfairly because life's unfair. And the sooner they get used to the idea, the better one is preparing them for life. I believe in treating boys unfairly because life's unfair. And the sooner they get used to the idea, the better one is preparing them for life. Now, anybody who's been alive for any length of time knows very well that life does often seem to be unfair in all kinds of ways. And yet, isn't it also true that whenever we come up against this unpleasant fact of life, we tend to find ourselves a bit surprised, even resentful, that this should be so? And isn't it our sense of fairness that perhaps is offended by the story Jesus tells in the Gospel for this Sunday? The workers who'd been hired first thing in the morning complained that they'd been treated unfairly, because at the end of the day, they received no more wages than the workers who'd been hired just 1 short hour before the workday ended. They grumbled at their employer. These latecomers have done only 1 hour's work, and you've paid them the same as us, who sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. You can almost hear the bitter resentment, the sense of grievance. Unfair, unfair. Same wages for 1 hour's work as for a whole day's work? That just doesn't make any sense. And any business that was managed in that way would sooner rather than later perhaps find itself out of business. So what on earth is our Lord teaching us in this story that he tells? What on earth is the point of it all? Well, the first thing to keep firmly in mind is that this story isn't a lesson in wages and labor relations. It's a parable. And what is a parable? A parable is one of those often surprising, often puzzling stories Jesus tells to point to the mystery of who he is, what God the Father is doing through him. It's all about Jesus, who, for example, doesn't begin this story by saying, now this is how the world should be run, this is how business should be done. No, he begins the story by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this story I'm now going to tell you. And if we ask what is the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus speaks, the answer is that it's not so much a place as it is an activity. What God is doing through Jesus, which is bringing us poor sinners back to himself and placing us safely and surely under the gentle rule of his mercy, his forgiving love. Of course, our sense of fairness is offended when we hear how men who'd worked just 1 hour received the same pay as those who'd sweated the whole day long in the blazing sun. But that happens to be the point of the parable, that your and my place in God's kingdom as his dear children isn't a matter of fairness, of what you and I somehow deserve or can rightly claim as our own. Our place in God's kingdom is a pure gift of his sheer goodness. In the same way that the wages paid the workers who worked just 1 hour wasn't a matter of anything those workers deserved, of something they'd somehow earned. Not fairness, but the sheer goodness of God, who delights in giving and forgiving. If we want to talk in terms of fairness, of what you and I in fact deserve from God, what we in fact deserve is judgment. And so when in the catechism, in the Christian questions with their answers, the question is posed, what have you deserved of God because of your sins? And the answer is, his wrath and displeasure, temporal death, and eternal damnation. That's what fairness requires. It requires God's judgment. And the fact that this truth seems so strange to people today, so difficult, is not a sign of progress and enlightenment, but of spiritual blindness, a blindness to the ugly reality of sin as an offense against the sheer goodness of our Maker. It was Nicholas Berdyaev who once said that one of the characteristics of Christianity is to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin. One of the characteristics of Christianity is to change a sense of grievance into a sense of sin. Because we deserve God's judgment on our sin, all we are, all we have, is then a gift of sheer goodness from the God who has no pleasure in the death of sinners, but came down to the manger, the cross, and the tomb, that you and I might be freely and fully forgiven, raised up to the joy of living under his pure mercy, now and forever. And so the end of it all is that this surprising, even troubling story our Savior tells is not some kind of lesson in wages and labor relations, but it is the good news that our place in God's kingdom, here and hereafter, isn't a reward for effort on our part, but the sheer gift of his unmerited and costly love. Or to put it another way, God saves, he makes us his, not because of anything he has seen in us, but because of who he in fact is, the gracious Lord, who hates nothing he has made and takes delight in forgiving the sins of all those who are penitent. Here there can be no talk of fairness, of accomplishment, of reward, but of grace alone. That grace which is the undeserved tender mercy of the Lord, whose goodness we taste again this day in the gift of the holy body born of Mary and the precious blood once shed on the cross outside the city gates of Jerusalem. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise the precious blood. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty.